Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, third hour here, Tiki and Tierney, for you just on the radio side. So if you start to get home and starting your commute home and you expect to see us on the tube, whether it's on DVR, whatever it is, we are just going radio the final hour, preempted on the TV side. So no simulcast form from 5 to 6 Eastern, just to let you know that. So you got to listen to us on the radio the old-fashioned way. Tiki and Tierney live from our Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So, D-Cell, can you do a little quick check, see what place I am in? I have tumbled down the sheet. I believe Tiki is languishing much further.
I started at the bottom of the sheet and have not gone up any farther
from the top than I am. I was, 42 coming into the day? And Tiki was like 3-something?
372.
Okay. We've got to get a little traction here in the nightcap. I don't like the... By the way, who's your final four? Before we get back to Izzo, get some more calls on this.
My final four, well, one is out already because I had Nevada.
You had the pack going to the final four?
Nevada. I'd like the Twins, you know?
I hear you. And we had Muscle Mud all day. They just didn't beat a lot of good teams this year.
They played terrible. They were up in the top five at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And we thought they really had a chance. Musselman's energy is awesome. Mm-hmm. We had him on. But then they started losing some weird games and getting distracted. Like, the rhetoric was distracting. Mm-hmm. They played terrible in their opening round game. They lost. So I had them. I had Duke. The East?
Duke is in
Virginia,
the East.
Virginia, obviously, in the South. And then in the Midwest, I have UNC.
Okay, all right. I've got Michigan.
No, I had Kentucky.
You got Kentucky.
Yeah.
I've got Michigan State. I've actually got Sparty beating Duke. Don't feel great about it. You know, I just, the only reason I say that, I know that Duke's not a good three-point shooting
Duke's
team.
Vulnerable. Is vulnerable.
They are.
In fact, the game that we followed early when they played Virginia, they shot like 62% from three-point range.
Yes, but which is double what they do. They're right around 31, 32%.
They haven't done it again since. Mm-hmm. So if they don't shoot well from range, they can be beat.
They can. So I've got Michigan State coming out of the East. I've got Tiki's Cavaliers coming out of the South. And the bottom part of the South bracket was a little tricky for me because I know that I've been telling you all year the Big East is as bad as it's been in a long time.
You're right.
It's proven itself out. St. John's lost to Arizona State in the first four. Marquette got thumped by Murray State. I mean, Villanova was very tight. St. Mary's is a good very good defensive team. Great defensive team. So they make it uncomfortable and close no matter what. But I do have – I pushed Villanova a little deeper than I really think I should. So I've actually got Virginia beating Villanova in the South Final. I know this isn't even close to a vintage Nova team. But I do have Virginia coming out of there. I've got the Zags in the West beating Michigan. And I've got, you ready for this?
Go ahead.
I got the Cougars.
Wow.
I got Houston, Coach Sampson.
Interesting.
Yeah, we had him on the show last week. He was great. I love their style. I like them. I haven't beaten UNC, which I don't feel great about either, because I think UNC, as I said to Rothstein, I actually think UNC is the best team in the tournament.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
That's my final four. They've
played great all season long. I'll say for a couple of games, obviously the ACC semifinal when they lost to Duke, I mean, that's a one-point game.
Yes.
They had a chance to win it. They had possession with a chance to win that game. So they lost to Virginia early also. But other than that, they had a great, great, great season, as did a lot of these teams, including Michigan State, who had a big win, BT. And we'll circle back to this. We started the show with it. Tom Izzo lit into Aaron Henry.
Mm-hmm.
The circumstances, they're down one at halftime against I'm forgetting who they were playing. Bradley. Which is a small school that most of us have probably never heard of or certainly haven't seen play. But they struggled with them. And
Hersey
a lot
Hawkins.
Of it, yep, Hersey Hawkins is
I
the one
drop
name,
that in. You know. Let everybody know that I saw him.
The one thing that Coach Izzo has always preached is accountability and hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if you do one bad, so if you hustle, even if you mess up and whatever, at least he'll forgive you. Aaron Henry was doing neither, and he lit into him hard. And you saw it. He chased him out onto the court. He was in his grill. I didn't really physically contact him, but he was as close to physically confronting Aaron Henry as could possibly be. And a lot of people took exception to it, saying coaches can't be like that with these young kids. Because
stunning.
But at the end of the day, Tom Izzo is a great coach. He's a great teacher. And he was teaching this kid a lesson about what it takes to be successful at the ultimate level. And that's paying attention and doing the right things with the right effort. This kid wasn't doing it. So he went old school on him and he screamed at him. And I loved it.
I loved it too. Two things that jump out to me here, Teak. And we took some calls on this in the first hour. And we will tee the phones back up now because I know that we had to leave a lot of you on hold. We obviously moved to some other stuff. 855-212-4227. Are you with Izzo and that style, or are you vehemently against it? But two things jump out. All right. Number one, I think that people, no surprise, have used this incident to launch into a greater point. Mm. And that is basically like, it's almost like, well, you dehumanize a player who's being exploited by the NCAA because they're, you know, it's a $1 billion entity. This young student athlete's not getting paid, which again, this is a completely separate argument, one that you and I have come full circle on. We both believe they should get some sort of revenue.
If we can find some way to economically make it viable, I'm all for it. Dude.
Give it a piece of paper. I'll sign up right now.
No
but
doubt.
That's not the point. The point is that they're trying to like intertwine both, and I think it's very desperate. I think it's also very obvious what they're doing. Number one, some people, and this we didn't even mention this the first hour because I think it's so below board that I almost don't want to hit the low hanging fruit. Some people, granted, very small percentage, have equated this to a race thing.
Oh, come on,
I hear you. I'm just telling you what's out there,
that kid could have been white, or Indian, or whatever.
Of course,
and Izzo would have done the exact same thing.
No doubt about it. And the other thing that jumps out to me, and this is really what bothers me, is that, you know, anytime there's an incident, people rush to communicate how they feel the person that we're debating feels.
Yeah.
And Aaron Henry said he's okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
So this false ire, this contrived anger is just, it's so shallow. Unfortunately, it's incredibly predictable. And like you said, it's weak.
Yeah,
I got to be coached up.
Yeah, I agree. And by the way, I got to take a timeout for just 2 seconds.
Going 30, we're going full. What do we got?
I've got a 30-second timeout.
30-second timeout on the floor.
At the middle of the first half of the Virginia Gardner-Webb game, Virginia was down 14. BT looked up. They made a little bit of a run. He said they're going to win by 12 to 15.
Mm-hmm.
The game is final right now. Virginia 71, Gardner-Webb 56.
There we go.
Which means 15 points.
Sharp ding, Tierney, ding.
Sharp Tierney nails it again.
Attaboy, Teak. I appreciate that. Anytime when you do that, we'll give you full time out every time, by the way.
But let's get back to Izzo. Izzo explained himself. He talked about it. And we have the sound. And I think he's dead right. Kids need to learn, whether you're playing a sport, whether you're taking a final, whether you're preparing a project, or whether you're at IBM or whatever team or organization you're working for post-graduation, people are depending on what you do, right? The beauty of sports, and this is why I love it, this is why you love it, there's an immediacy to it, right? If Virginia hadn't done their job and turned around in the second half, they lose.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they're embarrassed again.
Mm-hmm.
They did their job in the second half, and they win this game. The same thing applies for every station of your life. And Tom Izzo, that's all he's trying to teach.
You know, there were some things Aaron didn't do a very good job of. And yet, you know what? Happened, I did get after him, and he did respond, and he did make a couple big buckets, and he did make some big free throws. But that's not good enough. This is one-and-done time, you know? My bads are out the window. If they're my bads because that team played better, or that guy played better, if it's my bad because I decided to jog back instead of sprint back, then it is your bad, and you're going to hear about it. So that's what it was.
After the thing with Henry, you kind of knew you had to stick with him because you don't have much of a
question
bench.
Here.
And then the end of the game, did you call to feed the ball into him when the ball found him in the post? Did you go to him even though you challenged him because you knew you'd have to challenge him at some point? Or you knew you'd have to go to him because that's who you had to play with? Tell me about the thought process going to him late.
Yeah, we challenged him. We said if he's going to down screen, McQuaid hits the one. And we said the next time we'll slip it and we'll get it to you in the post because we figured they'd jump out of McQuaid. And it sort of happened that way. And he made a couple big plays in there, which he's capable of doing. You know, I get a kick out of you guys. Get after somebody because you're trying to hold them accountable. I don't know what kind of business you're in, but I tell you what, if I was the head of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable. That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. That's the way it is in the real world. And we can all take that, right? And I'll give you a real life example from our home. So we moved into our new home in December, right? And when you have little ones, and Tika knows, and most people know, a lot of people know about this, when you have little ones and you're not in an apartment, a condo, as we were, now suddenly we have staircases and doors and entries and exits everywhere.
Right.
So we had to obviously childproof it, right? And, you know, our staircase is pretty long, and we had a gate installed at the base and a gate installed at the top. So when Mommy and Daddy go upstairs to read and it's bath time and we read to the kids and we do our things before we go to bed and before we say our prayers, we know that when Mommy and Daddy go into our bedroom to watch TV or to read and whatever Mommy and Daddy want to do to relax, we know that the little maniacs can't get downstairs because this gate is set up. We also know that when Mommy and Daddy are downstairs, if we happen to leave the room, they can't go upstairs, so God forbid they can't fall.
Yeah.
Okay. Kinsley, who is two, my daughter, 2.5, she's getting pretty aggressive, and she's starting to feel her way around and see what she can get away with, like all kids
do. Testing her boundaries.
Testing the boundaries. So Daddy explicitly told her before Daddy went away to Dayton with St. John's, because the first time I saw her do this, she stuck her a little tiny toes, her little feet, right, in between the space in between the metal gate. By the way, they were a couple of $100 each. The guy had to come and drill them into our brand new wooden staircase. Wow. Like it was a pretty elaborate set to get this thing done. And, you know, she's only 2.5, so she's not very heavy, but it's heavy enough to compromise the gate if you keep doing it. What do you know? She didn't listen. Daddy's in Dayton. Daddy gets a call from Mommy. Little Kinsley didn't listen again, stepped on it, rode the gate to the base. The whole thing snapped off and broke.
Oh, wow.
So now there's wooden splinters, right? Now there's two choices there. And my wife called me late. She's like, I feel bad. I was, you know, I really yelled. No. There's two choices, like Izzo, right? The connection is you can either let her know at the age of 2.5 that is utterly unacceptable, or you could ignore it, you could laugh, you could push it down the road, and then she could do that to your car when she's 17. So you have to have these checkpoints in life. And that's with a gate, and that's with a fast break offense or defense.
I agree. 100%.
I mean, come on.
Look, my mom raised me that way. I knew when I made a mistake. There was no ambiguity. It wasn't like, well, maybe I can get away with that. No.
No, we're not putting you in timeout. Right now, I'm going to yell at you for this.
Yeah, it was worse back in the day, too.
Oh, yeah.
My mom wasn't yelling at us.
I hear
you.
She knew
she wouldn't win the argument.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys go. Would you too intellectual for it? Or
no,
because you would combine?
We'd join
forces.
So it was, all right, you're getting spanked. Let's go.
I'd rather get spanked every day of the week. The worst is when, but I'll tell you the one difference, you know, did she ever go for the spoon? The spoon is more of an Italian mom thing.
No,
not now. You can't get away with this now. But there is a skill. And I think that Spanish moms have this skill as well, I've heard from a few of my friends, that Italian moms can transform into a ninja and grab the spoon. Now, they'll tolerate a lot more than dads will, but when they snap and they go for the spoon to hit you on your knuckles, again, you don't do this anymore. Back in the day, they are ninja-like in their quickness to get to that piece of
cutlery.
That cutlery. And you don't do it again.
Right.
Or if you do it again, it's a long time down the road and it's for something different. But hey, it is what it is. You're either old school or you're not. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. We'll get some calls. Let's get into, you know, we could also get into this, which we will, because we have Mark Turgeon coming up. Third segment, Maryland coach. They're moving on. They're getting ready from the AC from the Big Ten.
Now
ACC call for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Wow. Zion. After what we saw yesterday, is there a conversation to be had, even an exploratory one? Maybe Zion shouldn't go first. We'll kick that around. Coming up, looking forward to it. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
So you've got plans to finally do some work on your car. Hood's up, you're ready to go, and uh-oh, you're missing a tool. It's one you don't have and frankly may never need again, but you need it now. So what do? O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. With more than 80 specialized loaner tools available, they're sure to have a tool in stock to help you get the job done. Are you working on your steering? Well, you may need a ball joint press or a tire rod separator. Two tools you may never need again. You're looking at your engine. You can borrow a valve, spring, or piston ring compressor. Then you can return it.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, so Tiki's Cavs are moving on. That's how it sounded. Westwood One NCAA Radio Network and the Cavs, number one seed in the South there. They dump Gardner Webb. They were down early, battled back, showing some nice resilience, knocking down shots, you know, flexing as a top team in the country should. They will take on the Oklahoma Sooners. That is in the next matchup. OU beat up on Ole Miss, which was a 8-9 game, kind of flip a coin. Who the heck knows? But without Trae Young, OU really put up a nice outing, played well. So, listen, this leads to our Ask the Pros question of the day. I think this is a good one, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Then we'll get to John Morant a little bit here with Zion Williamson. So, Josh in San Jose, California, wonders, hey, guys, if you could go back and pick a different champion for your bracket, who would you pick now? I wouldn't change anybody. Now, don't get me wrong. When Virginia was down 12, I was sweating a little bit here because that's the worst thing, to get knocked out so early.
Yeah.
But part of the reason why I picked Virginia, number one, I don't think they're the best team, but I think they're among the three or four best teams. And I think their bracket's the easiest. Tennessee's the 2 seed. Yep. I think Tennessee's vulnerable.
Yep.
Purdue's the 3 seed. They're good, but I think they're a little vulnerable.
You're right.
And
it's all of them play slow.
Right? Stylistically, I think it matches up to them.
A Gardner Webb is probably the fastest paced team in the bracket.
Yeah, and Kansas State's already gone. So the 4 seed's gone. UC Irvine. This sets up the way I have it, and I don't think much of Villanova this year relative to how I usually view them. So I've got a lot of respect for them. But big picture, I've got a Virginia-Nova Southeast final matchup, and I think Virginia would smash them. So I'm going to stick with what I got.
Yeah, I would as well. I mean, I'm a UVA grad and alum, so obviously I'm not going to change my thought. But if I had to,
Duke or UNC?
I'd probably go UNC.
Because
UNC just, they played great, and they're veteran. And their coach is experienced at this stage, and so in getting deep. So I'd say UNC most likely if I had to change it, but I'm not.
Okay, good stuff. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guarantee low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Mark Turgeon, the Maryland Terps head coach, coming up next here on Tiki and Tierney. Get him a little mojo as he heads into the next round. All right, Ja Morant here. You know, the one thing that – because – listen, I mean, to say that we have sat there and watched Morant this year would be a flat-out lie.
Yeah, you're right.
We know that he's been projected 2 or 3 in the draft. We see the highlights. We've caught some blips here and there, of course. But yesterday was really the first time that I had a chance to sit down and watch him attack. And lucky for me, it was against a team that I'm pretty familiar with in Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the one thing I want to caution everybody. As great as Morant was, and I think people are right, when you put up a triple-double in college, generally because the shooting is not as good in terms of your teammates, and it's only 40 minutes versus 48 in the NBA, it's when you get a triple-double in college, it is rare. I mean, it's rare.
Yeah.
Like, there, it happens every week in the NBA. College is very different. So props, and he's going to be a great pro. The only thing I want to caution, all right, knowing Marquette well, they are not a very athletic team.
Yeah.
The Hauser brothers are very slow. They play big minutes. Marcus Howard, who's their point guard and a big-time scorer, he's 5'9". So Morant at 6'3", 175, is now going to start facing, starting with Florida State, if they advance past that, more teams that will, I believe, feel more like NBA defense. Marquette is a terrible defensive
team. Yeah, I think you're right, but we all know, how the NBA is constituted right now. You're seeing a lot of teams start to play that James Harden style. Right now, and I went off in a good way about James Harden while you were out, BT.
Okay,
because it's starting to come back to my side of thinking.
Yeah, a little bit.
I think you're slowly starting to creep over as well, a little bit with James Harden. But teams are playing that way because it's so effective, right? You got a guy who can knock down 3-pointers. He can score at the rim.
Yep.
He's a great assister. He's also not afraid to mix it up and get into the paint and grab rebounds and then get in the transition the other way. That's what the NBA is doing right now. Now, Zion Williamson can do that to an extent. He's working on his 3-point shot. He's certainly not afraid to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're going to leave him open, he's going to take a 3-point
shot. And the shot's not broken. Mechanic wise, I talked about this when you were out.
Yeah,
mechanics wise,
beautiful shot.
The framework is there. The rotation's good. Shoulders are set up. I think mechanically he's going
to
get there.
Agreed. Maybe he's got to work on his handle if he really wants to be that in transition guy. But he's serviceable enough for a big man to grab a rebound, and if you're not going to fully press him, he's going to take off and go up the court.
Yep.
And so there's benefits, but with a game that's becoming dependent in the NBA on creation of shots, again, obviously it's ball movement, but it's creation of shots, right? We see this with DeMar DeRozan. It's one of the reasons why the Spurs have started this resurrection from the doldrums that they started the season on. They're playing old school, inside out, with Aldridge, and DeMar DeRozan's creating his own shot, right? And so Ja Morant can do all of that, and he's exciting as hell. He's a scorer. I mean, he's averaging 35 and 10. You know what I mean? I think I read the stat that they're
25 and 10.
I mean, 25 and 10. I read the stat that there was a couple of, a lot of teams don't have players that had 25 and 10 in a game, mm-hmm. much less averaging it for the season. Mm-hmm. So should we think about Ja Morant because of his creativity and athleticism? He is a little bit frail.
I worry about 175,
that
a little thin.
I worry about that a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. I guess Trae Young has kind of dispelled that. I mean, because Trae Young is little as... Remember?
Oh, yeah. I was really worried about that.
I was, but it hasn't really affected him.
No, it's been very good the second half.
I mean, there's an argument for Ja Morant.
Little bit.
He's certainly going top five.
Yeah, it's... Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah, the question is, could you be an argument for number one?
With Zion. And that's why I really want to see him play Florida State. Not that you base your answer just off one game. I do think there's a little overreaction, a little overly enamored with the stats, again, against, mm-hmm. with all due respect, a bad defensive team.
But didn't we think this again about Trae Young last year? Like, yeah, we were overreacting to his stats. Look at him now. I mean, he's not going to win Rookie of the Year because Luka Doncic is winning Rookie of the Year. But he's averaging 18 and, seven rebounds or whatever, seven assists a game.
He's been better than I thought.
Significantly better than I think.
I would agree he's actually gotten
better as the season's gone on.
Usually, as for somebody that thin, I would think that he would be worn down to a nub at this point.
Exactly.
That's actually a testament to, you and I, too. Listen, we'll tell you when we're right. We'll tell you when we're wrong, too. We were off on Trae Young.
Very off.
Here's the thing, though, because I want to get back to Zion for a moment. Because we know what Morant does, because we just watched it yesterday, so it's visibly in our mind. You talk about, the athleticism for Williamson is ridiculous. But what I talked about when you were out is his incredible instincts around the offensive rebound, like on the offensive backboard.
Zion. Yeah.
He's got a real nose. Now, you tell me, in the paint, it doesn't play like it did 15, 20 years ago. That's fair. But he's not as tall as Moses Malone. But Zion Williamson seems to know where the ball is going to go off the backboard like Moses Malone.
Yeah.
Offensively. It's incredible. It's a great knack. I think his instincts defensively playing the passing lanes are elite. And nobody talks about that.
Yeah.
And you bring up his handle. I actually really like his handle because it's low to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a shiftiness to him because we're so fixated on the dunks that I believe we shortchange his fundamentals, which are really good. Listen, we're still evaluating.
Yeah, you're right.
It also depends. If you have a couple of guys in the front court and you have nobody in the back court, like, who's going to win the lottery? I think it depends. It might be team specific.
That's a good point.
We'll see. Nathan is in Virginia. Nathan is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Nathan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Yeah, doing well. Doing good that the Cavaliers didn't bumble this one up. Thank you.
Yeah, no, they figured it out.
They got it.
BT called it. 15
they got
point,
it.
15-point victory.
Mm-hmm. I got him going to the Final Four, losing to UNC.
Come on
Sorry
now. Come
BT,
on. You're from Virginia.
No, I mean,
what's up, Nathan? You're from Virginia.
Listen, I'm a UNC born and bred.
I got it.
I'm always going to be a little biased on him. But let me get to this real quick here. I know you guys are busy.
Good.
I love Zion Williamson. Really do like him. And most of all, for me, I like his attitude.
Yeah.
He's not cocky. He's plays it well. I really do agree.
Yeah, but he smiles a lot. He's got a great smile.
Great kid.
His personality is awesome.
He's going to be great in the NBA, man, especially on that podium after the press conference. That's what he's saying. But here's my concern. He's a big boy.
Yeah.
And he's big in all the right ways. I'm not saying that he is like, Glenn Baby Davis or anything, but you're going to be playing, like you said, 48 minutes, and he's going to change the team from, 35 wins to 45 wins? So you're talking about postseason? Basketball is a game that gets everybody eventually. I'm worried about his explosiveness and almost like a bow kind of reaction. Is he going to suffer that time in some kind of major injury due to his explosion because of all the time and all the weight on his knees?
That's a great point and an intelligent one, Nathan. Because
thanks, Nathan.
Look, let's not wish this because we don't want to see a young superstar, a budding superstar, because mm-hmm. he is a college megastar. That's all we've talked about all season.
We haven't seen somebody like him in a long time.
Right. So, but we don't want to wish injury on anyone. But imagine if he does get hurt. And it's something that's relatively major.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how much weight will he put on?
Mm-hmm.
And then, especially, I'm assuming it'll be lower body. How does he come back from that at 270-something?
Well, that's
pounds?
Why he has to learn how to shoot. You if you draft him one, and I would believe that, you know, the four of the 10 teams, even though there's 15% chance worst teams to get, whatever, I'm just lumping. Of the 10 teams that aren't good, that have a percentage chance to get him, I believe right now 9.5 of the 10 would take Zion Williams first. I believe that. I believe maybe there's one outlier that's like maybe entering the evaluation phase of, Miranda's, he's a little unique here. 6'3", could spin it, could handle, could shoot, could get to the rim. He's a selfless guy. And he's took 9 shots. He dominated.
By the way, we have our power forward. Correct. Small forward position's already covered with a guy who is a star-ish. And, you know, we don't really need him, right? It just doesn't fit scheme-wise.
100%. Yeah. But if you are a Zion supporter, and I believe most people are at this point, you are doing that with the assumption that he will not necessarily become a plus shooter, but he's going to be a functional shooter.
Yeah.
And if he's not a functional shooter, then he's not worth the first overall pick. Because eventually, that weight and that burst, and I'm not saying he's going to become just a slob like Sean Kemp. He's not going to eat himself out of the NBA or Hot Rod Williams, God forbid, you know. But you got to shoot, man. You got to be able to hit the open jump shot. Otherwise, after a while, that little burst to get on the baseline, you know what? They're going to lay off. Yeah, right. Take that jump shot. You haven't hit one tonight. Go for it. You can't jump over somebody from the three-point line. You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting, but I would still take Zion. But, boy, I want to see Morant against Florida State because that Marquette defense is not a good test.
And
they're just too porous.
And Florida State's is because it's very long and athletic.
Oh, absolutely. And, by the way, his stats could be bad. He can make all the right plays. His teammates can fumble the ball, because now it affects what he sees and what he does. But also his teammates who are, with all due respect, inferior, I think, to Florida State. Now they're playing quicker because now Florida State's taller athletes, faster athletes. So, I mean, there's a lot on the table here. But, you know, I listened to his post-game interview as well because we always talk about Zion's. He seems to be a real selfless kid as well. Humble, quick to prop up his teammates. Seems like we have a lot of great young talents, but good young men coming into the NBA as well.
I think you're right.
Which is awesome. All right, Mark Turgeon's going to join us coming up next. Head coach of Maryland Terps after Axe Update. Going to whiz you around the scoreboard right now. Here's Axe.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, certainly a nail-biter if you're a Terp fan. But you're moving on. Good stuff. That's how it sounds at Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network. Tiki and Tierney back on what is, let's face it, probably the best Friday of the year. I mean,
it is. This is when everybody's paying attention to college basketball and you're sitting on the edge of your seat regardless of what's happening.
I mean, the only thing that could theoretically maybe be better is if Phil and Tiger are coming down the back nine at Augusta, but that's only Friday.
Yeah, you're right.
You need that on Sunday here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And, of course, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Teak, we are joined now by the head coach of the Terps. We heard the call there before. They took out Belmont. They beat them by a deuce, 79-77. Almost a decade, Coach Turgeon has been there now. Eighth year, fourth tournament appearance with Maryland, 23 wins this past season, and he's still playing. Coach Teak and Tierney, welcome to the show. Congrats on the win. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. It was a good win for us, and excited about still being in the tournament.
Yeah,
thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, joining us. You guys have LSU next, and obviously they had a really good season this year. Some issues with the program, but that's not your problem. But a lot of people are saying you guys are the underdog. You guys played a very, very tough schedule this year. Do you feel like you're prepared for the challenge that's coming in round two?
Yeah, there's no doubt. First of all, LSU did have a terrific year, 16-2 in the league, and they won at Kentucky, and they averaged 84 points a game in the league. That's amazing.
Yeah.
In today's world. So they're talented, probably the most talented team that we've played this year. They play loose and they play well, and they're really good defensively too. So it'll be a big challenge for us. But we have played a difficult schedule. We depends who you talk to. We played the eighth toughest schedule in college basketball this year with the fourth youngest team. So we're pretty battle-tested. I thought it helped us yesterday when the game was on the line. I thought our guys really stepped up and stayed poised, there late in the game. So we haven't played a team as athletic as LSU. That'll be a little bit different animal for us. But we played a lot of really good teams, and we're not going to be afraid of the moment, that's for sure.
No, and you guys are set up to be very good for a while. Obviously, we just referenced the youth on the roster. Five of the eight players top in the rotation are freshmen, so Coach Turgeon's got to point in the right direction. You know, and I wanted to ask you this big picture because I'm sure it took a year or two, maybe, just in terms of getting used to the new facilities, the new style. Maybe it impacted your recruiting. I don't know that. I don't think we've ever had you on the show. So the transition from conferences, I mean, you're obviously past that. But I am curious how long it took before you fully felt comfortable in the Big Ten for you, yourself, your program, the fan base. I mean, was it a tough transition?
Well, the hardest part for me personally was we announced it 2 years before we left the league. So I had two seasons of playing in the ACC, and we knew we were leaving. ACC wasn't going to do me any favors on the way out. So that was difficult.
Yeah.
The adjustment to the Big Ten, our recruiting base is a little bit different. We used to go down North Carolina, Georgia, Florida a little bit more when we were in the ACC. Still doing it, not quite as much. But no, the Big Ten welcomed us. We had our first year, we had a terrific year. We finished second behind Wisconsin. They lost in the national championship game to Duke. And
Kaminsky.
I think we finished third a couple of years after that. So it's been good. It's been good for us. I don't know if the old-time fan base will ever get over it. You know, they're used to playing North Carolina, Duke, and North Carolina State, and those teams. I don't know if they'll ever, you know, the ones that were in it since their childhood. But, we got a terrific league, Michigan State, Wisconsin, you name it. We got Indiana. It's a big-time basketball league and a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, you know, it's funny, Coach, because my mom lives in Laurel, Maryland.
Oh,
and
when
I'm training for marathons, I'll sometimes just run south of where she is, and I'll end up on your campus, which is pretty cool. And so I'm very familiar with the University of Maryland. Obviously, I went to Virginia, so it was in the ACC. But let me ask you about and following on what BT just asked you, I remember playing football, and we'd play in the Big Ten or, you know, in some of these different conferences. Like, man, these guys are just enormous. They're just going to grind us to death. Was there a transition from the style of play in the ACC to the style of play in the Big Ten?
Yes and no. The leagues are so big now. There's 14 teams in the ACC and 14 in our league. You have all kinds. You know, you have finesse teams, you have physical teams, you have tall teams, you have teams that like to play fast, you like to play slow. I don't know if we're as long and as athletic across the board as the ACC is. But it's a really good coaches league, I think, and a really good players that from the neck up really know how to play the game. And then the fan base is just terrific. I think we've led the country in attendance. The Big Ten has for 41, maybe 42 straight years. So you very, very rarely go on the road and it's not a sellout and a great crowd. So, but no, it's not. Everybody just thinks it's a big, rugged league, and maybe that's because Michigan State's near the top almost every year, and they play that way. But we get a little bit of everything, so you got to recruit your style of player and just do the best you can in league play.
No doubt. We're talking to Mark Turgeon, the head coach in Maryland, and coach coming off the 2-point win against Belmont. You know, Mark, I'm curious because, you know, most programs probably use a similar template, but what are the really tough things about the NCAA tournament? Number one, in their own devious ways behind closed doors, they try to give you the wackiest matchups, whether it's a coach who coaches. You know how it works. I mean, Hurley's now coaching against Buffalo. I mean, all these crazy things. Obviously, Patino with Minnesota going against Louisville. They love to do this. And from your point of view, because I know you have to live in the moment. Clearly, I get that. So the days before the tournament, you're getting ready for Belmont, but I would imagine somebody on your staff is doing their homework on LSU, on Yale, just because they do have an NBA player, Yale, just in case, you know, they get upset. How do you juggle the quick turnarounds, different styles, and it can't be easy?
No, it's not. You got three coaches that can scout, and they, you know, took a team. The thing that was hard for us is we had two teams we were looking at, Temple and Belmont.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So we didn't
know
who we were going to play.
That's
so we were watching those two. So we had one guy watching two. He was watching Temple and LSU. Fortunate for us, Belmont won, so he didn't have to do back-to-back scouts. So he jumped right into LSU. All week he was doing it, preparing with Temple. So It's a quick turnaround. We got the early game tomorrow, which, you know, is exciting. We're the only game of the day on tomorrow, so the whole country will be watching us. So that'll be great. But it is a quick turnaround. But this time of year, you know, you've seen everything. You have different defensive calls that you can make to adjust to who you're playing. And the scouting reports usually go pretty quickly. It's just getting the guys used to watch a lot of individual film, which, you know, starting, you know, this morning all the way through tonight and maybe even some tomorrow morning, for the guys just to get a really good feel for, you know, if a guy shot fakes a lot, if he likes to go right, you know, what he does when he goes left, all that kind of stuff. And I'll get a much better feel individually.
Yeah, no, Coach, we started our show with, you know, the Tom Izzo situation. I think that's a strong word for it because he's just coaching. That's what, you know, we all grew up that way, and it is what it is. And it brought up two discussions. One, was he wrong? We don't think he is wrong at all. Hell yeah, get on that kid.
Yep. Coach him up.
Show some accountability and hustle, because that's what matters, not only to him, but to his teammates, and it's a lesson for life. But the other side of the discussion that we brought up was, it almost felt like it meant more to Coach Izzo than it did to Aaron Henry. Let me ask you about what this means to you. Important if you go deep, and the kids will love it, and they'll live it forever. But how important it is for coaches when they get into the tournament and they're trying to get to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight and the Final Four. I mean, how big is this in your mind?
Well, it's what you know. As a coach, you're half crazy. you're working all the time. You're recruiting. You're out. You're away from home. And if you're in it and at this level, you're so darn competitive, you can't help yourself. And so you're just one just to get in the tournament. You feel blessed and lucky. But then once you're in it, you just want to win. You just want to compete, and you want to win. And that's really what it's about. And, you know, if the coach cares more than the player, you got some problems. But I tell you what, the kids today, they care so much. And I didn't see any of it. I've been busy. I don't read it or look. I know Tom Izzo loves his players, and I know his players know that.
Yeah.
He really, truly cares about them. And that's really what matters in the end.
No doubt. You know, and one of the great things about this tournament – I'm going to wrap it up here, talking to Mark Turgeon, the head coach of Maryland, is that you're either a devout, diehard, crazy college fan, you know everything, or you're an NBA fan and you're a fringe college fan and you kind of parachute in for a couple of weeks of wackiness, which is great. And for the latter, I think people really gravitate to the players who they will see in the NBA. You certainly, you probably have more than one, but Fernando is one who is a guaranteed, you know, absolute lock for the first round, could crack the top 10. Do you have a comparison? You know, I've heard Serge Ibaka. I see a little Ibaka. Do you have a better NBA comparison to Bruno?
You know, he reminds me of the Capella kid at Houston.
Okay, Clint Capella, yeah.
I think, you know, he's further along in his career, much better player than Bruno right now, but I think Bruno can get to that. And Bruno can actually shoot the ball.
Oh, yeah.
He made a 3-4 yesterday and hasn't shot as many threes as we anticipated going into this year. But we've improved. He's improved so much in so many other areas. So, but no, I think he could be a player like that down the road in the NBA, especially the way the NBA is playing today.
Yeah, he's from Angola. So if they had a few more Bruno Fernandos rolling around back in the mid '90s, we wouldn't maybe the early '90s, the Dream Team, we wouldn't have beaten him by 75 points. You know, the remember that? That was that came up on the show the other day. That was their first opponent. They won by like 70 points. I mean, but it looks like Angola has made some strides in hoops. Listen, Coach, we know you're busy. Great job. It was a sweat box, no doubt, getting by Belmont. But you move on, you survive in advance, and on to round two, buddy. Thanks for hopping on, and keep enjoying the ride.
And, Coach, you have the Tiki and Tierney mojo right now.
Oh, that's right. Tell them real quick. Tell them what that is.
Lon Kruger yesterday we had on, and Nate Oates. Lon Kruger won by 23, gets Ole Miss.
Oh,
and right now Buffalo's beating Arizona State by 23.
Although we had Musselman on 2 weeks ago, and he's done. So
hey,
take it for what you want.
I just want to win by one.
I hear you.
I got the mojo. That's going to help.
I hear you.
Thanks, Coach.
Be good, Coach. Good luck.
Okay. There you go. Right. Yeah, Fernando, that's why I said I see a little Ibaka, because he can stretch it outside.
Yeah.
You know, he's 6'10-ish, 6'9.5, 6'10, 6'10 and a half.
Clint Capella doesn't,
I don't see that. I think Clint might be a little bouncier, personally.
I think
and
he
a little
definitely
a lot
is.
Closer to the rim.
And he jumps, he jumps through the gym. And that's why he's such a great protector. But he doesn't shoot.
I don't see Clint. That's interesting he said
he's
that.
72% because he's dunking every other shot.
No doubt. Oh, by the way, do I have time to pull this up real quick? Okay, got it. Bang. You ready? Just an FYI. I'm reading somebody's tweet. Being in those huddles for the years, let's see. After a while, you're just ready from the draw up to play, just giving perspective from somebody who's been a part of those for years. And the reason it wouldn't stop is because Aaron Henry kept talking. However, what the world doesn't know is that Iz loves the kids who will challenge him back. So, young fella, keep standing up for yourself and is keep on leading the program. We on a mission. Who tweeted that? Draymond Green, former coach at Michigan State, getting his guys back. Teak, have a great weekend. Good luck with the Cavs on Sunday.
Appreciate you, brother.
No doubt. We will see you on Monday. Enjoy the hoops. Great time of the year. Peace. Gotta go.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.